Hi, I'm Rob Wright.
And this is Chad Brinson.
And we're here on CRN's podcast, and we're going to discuss the latest goings on with Cisco. And a little bit later in this podcast episode, we're going to touch on the huge acquisition Microsoft made with Skype, the biggest acquisition that software giant has ever made, actually. And curiously enough, we're actually podcasting on Skype, so. Guess we'll touch on that later. But first, Chad, we've got to talk about what's going on with Cisco. They had their earnings this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Kind of give us the rundown.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, between the goings on at Cisco and also Microsoft Skype, it's been a big week in the networking channel, and really for anyone who has even a passing interest in this area of technology. But yeah, Rob, no question, Cisco has been taking its lumps lately. A couple quarters worth now of very disappointing earnings. Clear that. That Cisco has dropped the ball in a number of key areas. That's me talking, but it's also what Cisco Chairman and CEO John Chambers has been saying himself to open the company's third quarter earnings call this past week. He said, "We know what we have to do. We have a clear game plan. We are a company with a track record of constant market shaping innovation. We've had to make big changes before, and each time we've made these changes, we've emerged even stronger." A characteristic optimism from Chambers, but no question, things are getting a little tough at Cisco, and they projected after just about meeting Wall Street expectations in its third quarter that it's going to continue to see weakness in the fourth quarter as its corporate restructuring continues. The restructuring meaning Cisco has made a number of changes internally. Including the dramatic paring down of the system of boards and councils that Chambers implemented all about 5 years ago in hopes of, driving more management decisions by committee. I think it's safe to say that system has backfired. Most observers would say that it added a layer of bureaucracy. It slowed down perhaps the Cisco innovation engine that Chambers talks so lovingly about so frequently, and has to go. And the headline certainly from the third quarter earnings call this week is that Cisco is planning to remove $1 billion in expenses by the end of its fiscal 2012, which starts on August 1st of calendar 2011, and as Cisco made no bones about the fact that that's going to mean some big time layoffs in the not too distant future.
Right. It's interesting because I know that they had, I think their previous high for reduced jobs was, I think in 2002, if I remember correctly, I think they cut about maybe 2,000 positions. And now, looking at the projections that I've read from analysts, they're talking about 3,000 or 4,000 jobs.
It's I've seen same, and it appears it's going to be a pretty sizable high. Cisco did already announce it's going to eliminate about 550 jobs as part of the shuttering of the flip video camera line and the much touted restructuring of its consumer business. But it sounds like it's going to be a lot.
Yeah. Well, we'll jump back to the flip stuff in a second, but in terms of the actual numbers, their Q3 profit was I guess down about seven more than 17% if I'm reading this correctly. I guess their sales for Q3 wasn't they weren't terrible, but like you said, they seem to have been saddled with a lot of expenses, and I think the profitability thing seems to have analysts and investors worried the most, it looks like. Do you think that I mean, it's got to be more than just sort of the level of bureaucracy, the executive upper management. What do you think they're going to, what do you think have been some of the problems? What do you think they're going to do to remedy
Well,
that?
No question there's a drag. I mean, third quarter, their reported sales were $10.9 billion, which was actually up close to 5% from the year-ago quarter. But as you mentioned, Rob, you know, the profit was $1.8 billion, which came down 17.6% from the year-ago quarter. No question, there are a lot of things dragging on Cisco right now. One of the easiest punching bags is public sector, which is still accounts for about 20% of Cisco's overall revenue by segment, and has just been thanks to the ongoing budget constraints, especially in state government, a really high hill, tough hill for Cisco to climb. I think the other thing, though, is the erosion of the switching business. Right? Switching and routing, that network plumbing that has been Cisco's bread and butter for so long and still accounts for about 45-46% of overall revenue, is in decline. Switching revenue did decline in the previously reported quarter, Q2, and it declined again in the current quarter, declining 9% year over year. And certainly, that's what's raising a lot of eyebrows. You know, there are a lot of competitors attacking Cisco's switching and routing base, you know, if on price as it concerns HP networking and Huawei, and certainly with all the other ways to attack a mature product line like that. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, Rob, is that, you know, Cisco has for a long time kind of clung to these very ambitious growth targets of between 12-17% on an annual basis. And on the third quarter call this past week, it was the first time that you know, that Chambers and Cisco's top executives have backed off that projection. I mean, they said right on the call this week, it's probably not realistic anymore, and that while Cisco will grow in its fiscal 2012, 12-17% is going to be a little too optimistic, even for an eternal optimist like Chambers.
Wow. It's just interesting to look at this historically. This is one of the, you know, one of the tech bellwethers, one of the true giants in the IT industry. And when you think about, you know, the previous hard times that Cisco had fallen upon, I mean, I remember in 2001, 2002, during that sort of post 9/11 recession, when they had to shed jobs, and it was a real shocker for a company like Cisco, because everybody thought, you know, that they were sort of, you know, they weren't vulnerable. They weren't impervious to any type of sort of downturn, that, you know, they powered the internet, and the internet and networking in general was going to keep growing, and that they'd never see a slowdown with their switching or router business. And now to see this happen to them now, and to see them talk about, you know, setting a new high for layoffs, when a lot of people were really starting to feel optimistic about the economy and feeling like we were coming out of the recession, that's got to be very damaging to Cisco.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there is some optimism, like, depending on, you know, who you talk to, about the improving pace of the economic recovery. And I think, you know, while in its earlier disappointing quarters, you know, we're talking 3-4 quarters ago now, you know, it was safe for Cisco to say the economy is taking its toll on us, like it is everybody else. I, you know, being able to say that now is being met with increased skepticism, because we have seen numbers from a great many of Cisco's rivals. Juniper especially comes to mind, and suggest you know, things are picking up, that there are pickup in sales, pickup in interest, pickup in deals getting done in a lot of the areas in which Cisco competes. And I think as that consensus shifted to maybe the problem's not the economy, maybe the problem is Cisco, we have seen Cisco get a great deal more candid Most notably in early April, we saw, a memo from Chambers himself detailing that Cisco had disappointed investors, confused employees, to use his words, and lost credibility. I mean, to see that, and it was originally an internal memo that that got leaked, and you got to credit Cisco for then doing the right thing and making it public so all could see and give Chambers a measure of contrition. When you see that type of thing coming from a CEO like John Chambers, who always accentuates the positive, and then you see these consistent changes from an organizational structure and, the portending of massive layoffs and more cuts to what they're calling underperforming business lines, things are a mess in there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the competition. We've seen a lot of executive, defections to mostly, Juniper, correct?
Correct. And I think, you have, you could take it back even a couple years to the departure of Charlie Giancarlo, who, was at the time regarded as Chambers' most likely successor at Cisco. But, if you track back to, the fall of 2007 when Charlie left, you have seen a consistent exodus out of Cisco. Some pretty high profile people, Jayshree Ullal, now at Arista, of course. In the past year, you saw Tony Bates, very very highly regarded and head of a number of Cisco's big business units, become CEO of Skype, and now of course is looking to become president of the incoming Skype division at Microsoft. And from a channel perspective, one of the big ones that resonated most with partners was Luann Tierney, who ran marketing for Cisco's worldwide partner organization, and is now in a similar capacity with Juniper. Luann, very highly regarded, we're told, we understand, among Cisco's top brass, and certainly a prime mover in a lot of the marketing efforts that Cisco's partners enjoy. To have someone as well known among the partner community as that jump to an immediate rival is a big deal. And it must be said, though, Rob, that Cisco did get one back, get one back in the W column just this past week. David Yen, a longtime executive in the channel, best known for the 20 years I think he spent at Sun Microsystems, left Juniper and is now going to be running UCS and Nexus switching, the data center building blocks for Cisco.
Right, right. Well, do you think that the high profile war, that Cisco has had with HP, the fallout of that partnership, the 3Com acquisition by HP and sort of the fallout from that, has that taken a toll on Cisco? Can we start to say that HP looks like it's maybe edging Cisco in that war yet, at least on the networking side?
I think there's no question, and a lot of solution providers would say this too, Rob. There's no question HP networking is making gains against Cisco in terms of market share, in terms of mind share among CIOs. How much is really the question, depending on who you ask. But I haven't spoken to a Cisco VAR, within the past couple months who hasn't told me that they've come up against HP networking solutions in some way, shape, or form. HP, as we all know, a very much an aggressor, a very aggressive organization, and a very aggressive channel sales organization, especially for their size. And we have seen an enormous amount of rhetoric, an enormous amount of competitive baiting of Cisco from the top guys at HP, including Dave Donatelli, executive vice president of ESSN over at HP, just this week, calling out Cisco from the stage at Interop. In many cases, it's saber rattling, and it's the giants of the tech industry fighting. But I I think it's safe to say HP does see a little bit momentum, and you have to credit them, trash talking aside, for seizing on that momentum. HP networking is making gains, Rob.
What do you think is going to happen, I guess, then with some of the newer initiatives at Cisco? I'm thinking specifically like a new product like the CS tablet. I mean, they seem to have put a lot of effort into that. They spent a lot of time on it at their recent partner conference, you know, discussing it, touting it as sort of the, you know, the iPad alternative for enterprise business users. Are some of those new initiatives, are they in danger the way that the Cisco is going right now, or are those things going to be even more important to the company going forward? Because as you said, you know, they've kind of been a little slow. They've had a drag on them with that upper management, that sort of executive bureaucracy.
I think they're going to become products like CS, which is Cisco's Android-based tablet. You know, something they're intending as kind of a unified communications endpoint. It's those products that are going to become even more important for Cisco going forward. I mean, there were among the bright spots, and there were many in the most recent earnings report. Cisco's collaboration business, which includes video conferencing and telepresence and the portfolio it acquired with Tanberg, grew 39% year over year. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. I think data center virtualization and cloud, I mean, that aspect of Cisco's business, which includes the unified computing system, grew 31%. I mean, whereas Cisco's perhaps core network plumbing, its switching and routing business, has taken some heat. There's no question that that collaboration video, which John Chambers has for so long touted as the next voice, and also the UCS have been big successes for the company and are profit-rich opportunities for a lot of the solution providers, Cisco solution providers, able to sell them. I mean, you know, just touching on UCS for a second, Rob, I mean, when Cisco announced the Unified Computing System as its major data center play in March 2009, there was all the speculation of just how readily both the channel and customers would adopt Cisco as a more full-fledged data center player. According to Cisco, UCS now boasts about 5,400 customers and gained another just north of 1,500 in the third quarter alone, has an annualized run rate of 9 million. I mean, UCS has been a hit for Cisco. Cisco is a data center player. And, you know, the innovative architectural approaches they've driven with, through partnerships with EMC and VMware for VBlock, and then NetApp and VMware for FlexPod are both things that partners are talking about and really see as big W's.
So I guess we should maybe put this in perspective then. Like you said, there are some bright spots, many bright spots for Cisco right now. We're not talking about Chambers being on the hot seat then in the same way that maybe a Steve Ballmer is for Microsoft. I mean, he's still the guy. He's still the respected, leader, the respected CEO. We're not talking about drastic steps here, are we, for Cisco?
I don't think of that magnitude. I mean, there are Cisco observers much longer in the tooth than me, Rob, who would see this, you know, perhaps as Chambers' last stand. And I mean, the guy's been CEO over there for going on 17 years, so it's certainly been a lifetime. But there is a lot of wonder out there, how much longer Chambers is going to spend in the top seat. Now, earlier this year, back in February, he appointed for the first time a chief operating officer, and that's Gary Moore, who headed up Cisco's and still heads up Cisco's global services business. And what was interesting on the quarterly earnings call this week is that it was Moore, not Chambers, who led a lot of the discussion and who did touch right. upon a lot of things. And it's also Moore who Chambers has put in charge of making all these structural changes. The word out there is that Moore himself isn't interested necessarily in the top job, but who knows? I mean, he may be the next leader of Cisco. He may just be a darn good COO. Cisco has definitely not tipped its hand on this one.
Okay. Well, let's turn to Skype and Microsoft real quickly before we wrap up here. Obviously, that rumored deal came to fruition, I believe, Tuesday, correct?
Yes.
And, I mean, it's interesting to note that is the biggest acquisition that Microsoft, you know, a company that's been around for decades, huge cash reserves, biggest software company in the world, but arguably, you know, the most powerful technology company in the world when you think about it. It's the biggest acquisition they've made in dollar amount, and $8.5 billion for a voice over IP service that that eBay acquired not too long ago for, I think it was about $2.5 billion, and then sold. When you saw this acquisition, Chad, what did you think?
I think that Microsoft is going to have to explain and explain pretty quickly to shareholders in particular why it paid so much and why it's so useful. I mean, there's a lot of talk out there about that one of the major reasons for Microsoft doing it was just to prevent someone else, namely a Google or another Microsoft competitor from gaining Skype. Skype. You know, it should be noted, of course, was on an IPO path. They filed their Form S-1 last summer. And then, a lot of the talk shifted from IPO to maybe it would get acquired. Cisco, interestingly enough, was among the companies that was said to have kicked sure. the tires on a Skype acquisition. But I don't know. I mean, no question it puts a hugely popular VoIP service, hugely popular with consumers in the Microsoft universe, and certainly gives Microsoft a lot to talk about, a lot to potentially do. I think the main worry right now, Rob, from consumer Skype users, from business Skype users, from anyone with even a passing interest in Skype, is A, what's Microsoft going to do with it, and B, is it going to remain as free? Is Microsoft going to tie it up in with the Microsoft stack and really limit the freedom and utility that Skype users enjoy?
Yeah, and it's very interesting reading sort of the responses to this deal, because on one hand you have the consumers saying, don't screw this up, Microsoft, don't start charging me, don't make it a proprietary part of the Windows stack and tie it to maybe the operating system like Internet Explorer. And on the other hand, you have the resellers and the Microsoft partners saying, well, how am I going to make money off this if you're just doling it out for free? What's the value proposition for the channel? And those are two very different perspectives, and I'm not sure how they're going to kind of come to a happy medium. I will say, on one hand, Microsoft's been good at sort of integrating products and coming up with new, I guess, programs or software to kind of tie into their the bundled value proposition, whether it's something like Internet Explorer or other products where they're not necessarily charging for it. But at the same time, you got to wonder, for $8.5 billion, there's got to be some type of scheme or strategy there for the business side and for the channel, whether it's ad revenue or whether it's sort of a higher value premium service for business users, because as it stands now, there are a lot of questions about this.
No question. Lots of questions, not no question, lots of questions.
But, yeah.
How is Microsoft going to make this a moneymaker, a potential opportunity for its galaxy of channel partners? For our audience, for CRN's audience, and for the solution providers out there, that's the big question. I think it's not clear yet. I think there's a lot of potential for Microsoft to embed Skype in any number of its famous and even less famous software products, and have that capability in there. But at the same time, Skype and the channel have always had kind of a strange relationship. Skype debuted a formal channel partner program last September, and from what we can tell, while there was a lot of initial interest from solution providers in hearing about how Skype was going to create a business opportunity for them, they just didn't see a lot of ways to make money. The program itself, was a little bit loose. It was designed as Skype told CRN anyway at the time, not to resell the Skype platform, because most of Skype services, such as Skype to Skype calling, are obviously free, and a lot of the paid services are still bought directly from Skype. But more, to be able to say we have Skype and be able to integrate a Skype effectively and securely into a business solution. I mean, I think what Skype was doing, candidly, was trying to create Skype evangelists in the channel to drive its business adoption. But from what the resellers have told us, Rob, there just wasn't a whole heck of a lot of opportunity to make money with it.
Yeah. Well, maybe this Microsoft deal will turn out to be a good thing, because we've got to give Microsoft credit where credit is due. And the one thing that they are good at is working with the channel, and they have a pretty rich history of that. And they've had their ups and downs just like every other vendor, but they've always kind of found a way to, with whatever products, whether it's Windows or their Office suite or anything else, kind of find a way to make it attractive to their partners and get them involved in some capacity. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that as it moves along.
You have to think something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, Microsoft made some pretty questionable moves in its time, and certainly during Steve Ballmer's tenure at the top. But it'll be remembered as one of the major M&A moves of the year. I think if Microsoft can convincingly tell all of its channel partners, all of the business guys, how they're going to be able to enrich sales of Microsoft with Skype, enrich the business and the services they drive from Microsoft integrations, this could turn out to be a win.
All right. Well, we'll keep a close eye on it, I'm sure, as it goes along. And you can check out all the coverage that CRN has of both the Skype Microsoft deal as well as Cisco's recent woes on CRN.com. Chad, thanks for spending some time and chatting with us, and hope to have you again on the show real soon.
A pleasure, Rob. Thank you.